Go ahead and open up with me in your Bibles to Matthew 13. We're going to continue into another parable of Jesus. We were in Matthew 13 last Sunday, and we looked at six of the seven parables that are found in Matthew 13. Today, we're going to look at the first one, Matthew 13, this morning. Every single day this past week, I had my feet in the dirt. I like to be outside, so God gave me an inside job, being a pastor, and which is a lot of times in the office and seeing people and studying, that sort of thing. So every time that I can be outside to just be out and exercise or just fill my lungs with fresh air, every important thing God ever spoke to my heart always happened outside. So literally every single day this week, I was on a trail somewhere. If it was by myself or Michelle hiking with me, I like to mountain bike and ride out our little apartment is some really primo mountain bike trails. And just literally every single day, last Sunday when we got home, went for a bike ride, and every day been in the dirt. And so dirt's been like a pretty big part of my life. My dad was a weekend hobby farmer. And so all my Saturdays were spent on the farm. I remember 8 years old out there pulling weeds. My dog Cookie and me and my water jug, feeling quite abused that I was left alone to just with a knife and to cut weeds. But there's just something about this time of the year. Have you noticed the farmers are out there already and they're turning the dirt? There's something about the smell of just that fresh turned dirt that just brings me back to my childhood. And it makes me think of my dad, who's been gone for a long time now. But dirt is just as basic as it gets. I mean, God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground, if you remember. Nothing is more basic than dirt. One of the most common elements on earth is dirt, whether it's brown, red, yellow, black, or white, kind of like people. Dirt can be sandy, it can be silty, it can be clay, peaty, or saline. Loam is this great mixture of silt and sand and clay, and it has this high pH level and calcium levels because of the organic matter content that's within it. I love the smell of fresh turned dirt. And so Jesus used this basic element to teach us something about ourselves and about everybody that we meet. So look with me at Matthew 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. The whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seeds fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Let's pray. Father, I do pray that we have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us today. That you reveal yourself, you reveal your purposes, you reveal the plans that you have for our life through your word today and by your Spirit. On our part, we have predetermined today that we're going to be doers of your word and not hearers only in Jesus' name, so that we can become the people that you've called us to be, so that we can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will that you have for our lives. Teach us from dirt today what we need to know about living for you and pleasing you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this this parable. We have a sower, we have seed, we have four different kinds of dirt. We have that which is found by the wayside where the birds come and just eat the seed because it never even penetrates the soil. We have stony ground where the seed spring up quickly and dies equally quickly because of the lack of the depth of the roots. We have thorny ground or weedy ground where the seed is choked out by the thorns. Michelle and I, twice in our lives, tried to grow a garden, but the weeds won both times. Except last year. You're right. That was the third time. And we actually had a garden. And we actually had tomatoes and peppers and all kinds of herbs. And we did one time in our whole life. The weeds didn't win. I mean, the weeds, you know, it was laziness on our part. But I mean, just the weeds took over and choked it out. And then we have this fourth kind of soil, which is good soil, that produces bountifully. So just put that in the back of your mind, because Jesus is going to explain this to us in just a moment. But let's pick it back up with verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Verse 16 says, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, they did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it." Now, the way that the King's English is working there is a little bit confusing. So I picked out verse 12 from the New Living Translation, and it reads this way: "To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." So in other words, if you're here this morning and you have this desire to know God, you have this desire to know the things of God, you have this desire within you to please God with your life, then God will validate that. In other words, it begins, what kind of dirt are you is the question. Are you the kind of person that you really do want to hear from God? You really do want to hear from Jesus. You want your life to align up with His will and His purposes for you. And if that's true, then what you're receiving from Him, you're going to get more of it. You're going to get some understanding. You're going to get some insight. It starts with your desire. But equal, he said, you know, if you really are here this morning and somebody brought you here against your will, or you're watching somehow, you know, on the live stream and you just stumbled into this and you're just really not that interested and you really don't care what the Bible has to say much about anything, then you're probably not going to get much out of this service today or any time you hear God's word taught. What little you have, you're going to go, "Oh, that's just confusing. It's contradictory," and all these kinds of things. And what the seed's intention will produce nothing for you. It'll just be stolen from you. So my question, as a Bible teacher, I always approach the text with a lot of questions. And Jesus tells this story. There's a sower and seed. Now, for a brief period of time, like I said, all my childhood growing up, I helped my dad farm. It's how Michelle and I paid our way through college, that we ran the family farm over in Andrew County back in the early 80s, from, you know, about 1980 to 1983 while we were in college. And seed is costly. I mean, you don't want to waste it. I mean, nobody would plant knowingly, you know, let's just drill some soybeans, or let's just plant some corn, you know, right on the shoulder of the highway. Nobody would do that. That's ridiculous. That would just be like throwing your money away. You wouldn't knowingly, you know, just plant your seed in some really highly unproductive ground. I mean, it's just a bunch of rocks, and you just wouldn't do that, would you? I mean, it's too valuable. So my question is who, it must run in the family lane, that voice cracking thing. You know, we're really proud of Lane. Lane, before we started the church in St. Joseph, really never led worship, singing from the microphone. But, man, isn't the team just coming together and getting so good every week? Wow. Doing a fabulous job. But why would anybody knowingly plant valuable seeds in unproductive soil? Nobody would do that. So here's the answer I think I got. Perhaps Jesus asks us to plant seeds without regard to the productivity of the dirt. It might even be impossible for us to predetermine what kind of dirt a person turns out to be. I mean, who would have imagined that you would have turned out to be who you actually became? Concerning many of us, we had doubters. Ramp yourself back to teenager. For some of you, that was a few weeks ago. For some of us, we hardly even remember that, okay? But concerning many of us, we had doubters who thought us to be wayside, stony, or thorny dirt. Come and I get a better witness this morning. Come on. I mean, when people looked at you, they thought, there ain't no way that guy's turning out to be much of anything, or gal. Or some of you maybe even started off in life a little rough. I mean, maybe you used to be stony ground. Maybe you used to be kind of thorny. Or probably sometime in your life, you probably weren't that interested at all, and all the seeds that were planted in your life seemingly went to waste in the early days. Are you following me? Some of the least likely people have become the pillars of Cornerstone Church. Only God knew them to be rich and productive dirt. Again, our job is to plant seeds everywhere we go. We're not called to be soil analysts. Look, some of you know, went to Northwest Missouri State University. I was in the agriculture department getting an ag econ degree, and I had to take a class called soils. I have a 3-hour, credit. You know, in my little resume there, my manuscript, that says soils. It's just as horrible as it sounds. It is absolutely, completely, totally, no doubt about it, the worst class I ever had to take in college. We talked about dirt every day. You don't want to be a soils analyst. It was the most boring, horrible experience that college could ever be. And you're thinking, what could I ever do with this? And here I am talking about dirt today. You don't want to be a dirt analyst. However, in farming, knowing soil types is kind of important. It's actually vital. Having reliable soil analysis allows us to apply fertilizer properly, allows us to bring the pH into balance. Doing so causes the productivity of your farmland to increase. Michelle said, what are they doing out there? You know, as we were heading for our hike yesterday, I said, man, they're out, they're getting ready to plant corn. They're putting that nitrogen into the soil, so man, they can get those big, they know what the soil needs. They're putting it in there. But again, you and I aren't the soil analyst. But the Holy Spirit is. See, we need to learn how to trust the leadership of the Holy Spirit when we're working with people. Not that whether we should analyze whether we should plant the seed or not, But I'm telling you, knowing your dirt allows you to know how much nitrogen, how much potassium to put into that soil. It allows you to know what to do. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are about. It isn't for some self-gratification for a bunch of church people to go, oh, yay, God used me. No, it's to allow us to be able to speak into lives of people, and the Holy Spirit knows things about them, and God may reveal something to us that unlocks a treasure in their life, allows them to be healed, allows them to be restored. It allows them to hear the Word of God and receive it for the very first time. And so if we would allow the Holy Spirit to do His job, we can just keep planting seeds. The Holy Spirit knows what people need. And so that's why we would ask the Holy Spirit to use us and bring His gifts to us so that we could help other people. Because I believe this. Listen to me. Every person that we encounter has the potential to receive God's Word and to bear fruit. It's not up to you. It's not up to me to go, you know what? They're just rocky soil or they're just thorny. There's no sense wasting our time. You can't determine that. There's no way I should be standing up here doing what I'm doing. But you know what? That's God's job. I mean, my sister, who's here, by the way, where is she? I saw her earlier. She must have left. Okay, now she's hiding. All right. Because we were just normal kids growing up, and she's 2 years younger than me. And she would do something to provoke me, right? Come on. How many of you have a little sister? All right. She'd do something to provoke me, and I would retaliate, right? I'd do something. I'd fix it. And then, you know, because I was called to preach when I was 11 years old and started preaching actually when I was 14 years old and licensed in ministry at 17 and started pastoring at 19, that's just a little weird, okay? That's a weird track for a kid, all right? But I was still a kid, all right? Are you following me? So I would do something pretty mean. But she always started it. Right? Okay. And then she would look at me and say these words I'll never forget. Some kind of preacher you're going to be. You know, there was a little bit of rocks in my soil. There was some weeds in me. Come on, are you listening to me? But every person we encounter has potential to receive God's word and to bear fruit. Every person, I believe, can become rich, fertile soil. I believe that. Now, there's some false assumptions, I think, that we have sometimes. There's some false assumptions. Let's look here. Verse 18. Let's see what Jesus said about this. Therefore, he... Hear this parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, and that not understanding it is kind of determined by the person. I mean, they don't want to hear it. Maybe they're not ready to hear it. I don't think God says, you know, I don't like you, but I like you. Okay, you can be part of my team, but I'm cutting you. I don't think that God's going around deciding who's in and who's out. Are you listening to me? I mean, it doesn't seem like God to me. But anyone who does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit, producing 100-fold, 60, and some 30. Here's some what I call false assumptions about this. See, because we have these four different kinds of soil. We have this rich, dark, highly productive dirt that produces, you know, 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. We have this rocky soil that's very shallow and it gets real excited but burns out real fast. We have, you know, this kind of well-intentioned person who hears the word of God and would really kind of like to follow the Lord, but every other thing is more important to them than God's word. You know, there are some people here this morning, not you, I mean, you know, somebody else around you. The only reason you're here today is because you didn't have something else going on. And that's those that fell among the weeds. It's just other things just crowd out the word of God in their life. So we have this false assumption then, if we're not highly productive in the kingdom of God, if God's word's not really producing great things in our lives, we have these assumptions. Number one, that good dirt people, you know what I mean by good dirt people, right? Good dirt people have less trouble and less distractions than I do. That's a false assumption. There's a second false assumption that says persecution suggests that the person is doing something wrong. The reason I'm being persecuted is maybe there's some sin in my life. The reason I'm being persecuted is maybe I'm just missing it somewhere. That's a false assumption. The third false assumption is that if I don't feel euphoric about God and church like I used to, then there must be something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with this church. Those are false assumptions. What's true is this: trouble and potential distractions come to good dirt people just like everybody else. They simply don't yield to them. They just keep following Jesus no matter what comes. I mean, Michelle and I have been in ministry our whole adult lives, ever since we've been married for 35 years. And we've seen people that were very excited about God and the things of God, and then something happens, some tragedy happens in their life. They prayed for something, they didn't get what they wanted. You know, somebody died that they were believing to stay alive, and bam, they're gone. Persecutions came, troubles came, and they're out of here. I remember one of these guys, looked at me, you know, sometime after my own dad had died. Michelle and I, both of her parents died young and my dad died young. You know, my kids grew up without, you know, much grandparent influence in their life because of that. And this guy looked at me one day and just accused me of being a hypocrite. Said, you know, you're up there praising God and acting like, you know, you're still following Jesus. But he said, I know. He said, I know, because, you know, your dad died. In other words, we didn't get what we wanted. We didn't get our way. We didn't get it the way we were praying about it. He said, I just don't believe you're really following Jesus like you act like you are. You see, because his mom had died. He'd prayed for her and she passed away anyway. And he just stopped following Jesus after that. See, there's this assumption that if you're a good dirt person and you're really productive, you just don't have the same problems that I have. Because if you had the same problems I have, you couldn't really follow Jesus either. Are you listening? But see, we don't live by circumstances. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by the outward circumstances of life. The second thing is that persecution comes to everybody. Persecution doesn't happen because you're doing it wrong. Persecution doesn't happen just because maybe you're sinning. Persecution may indicate that you're really right on track with God and Satan is attacking you. Isn't that what Jesus said? So the persecution that's coming against you is not a really great indication that you should quit, that God has abandoned you. The persecution that's coming to your life may be a strong indication that you're really right where you ought to be. The last false assumption is this. You know, about feelings. I just don't feel the same way about God that I used to. So there's either something wrong with me or there's something wrong with this church, because I'm not feeling it. Feelings come and go. Faith is constant and reliable. If you follow your feelings, you could lose your faith. But if you walk by faith, your feelings will line up. Can I just confess something before you right now? I don't feel the same way about Michelle as I did when I was 17. I promise she doesn't feel the same way about me as she did when she was 17. My feelings are different now. Actually, when I was 17, my feelings fluctuated dramatically. Like, you know, one moment, if she was doing everything I wanted her to do, I liked her a whole lot. But if she did something I didn't like, you know, it was just up and down, right? I mean, I could get really irritated. Boy, she wants to say something really bad right now. I'm sure I caused her major irritation, like a long time ago. But the range of our emotions for each other is less dramatic today, right? Come on. But they're more mature, they're more dependable. Yet she still thrills me. Come on. And it's the same with Jesus. You know, I don't come into a worship service and just get as giddy as I used to. Man, how many of you remember, you know, like when you were really introduced to like real heartfelt praise and worship music, and where you felt like you know you might want to raise your. I remember having that feeling, like, ooh, I think those hands want to go up, but man, Baptist hands stayed down. All right, okay, come on. And you felt like your feet wanted to move a little bit, but Baptist feet don't move. I'm talking to the Baptists in the room this morning. I was licensed as a Baptist preacher when I was 17. But I just remember that the music and just being moved by that. And you just wanted to do something about it. And you wanted to sing a little louder. And you didn't care if your voice cracked. And you didn't care if your shirt came untucked from your pants. Remember when we used to always tuck in our shirts? Come on. I mean, your mom wouldn't let you out of the house with an untucked shirt when I was a kid, all right? I don't get as giddy about Jesus as I used to, but my love and emotions are more mature and dependable today. Yet there's times in worship like this morning, come on, I can still get goosebumps, but my walk with Jesus is not based on unreliable emotions. We walk by faith, not by emotions. So here's the deal today. What kind of dirt are you? Are you uninterested? You know, I mean, you're looking at the watch going, okay, hour's up. How much longer are we going to be here? That's just where you are. Stony ground. And again, I've seen these people. Man, they just get so excited. Man, oh man, God, so good. Church, so good. Man, oh, you know, just 3 weeks from now, they're gone. What happened? There just wasn't any depth there. It was all emotion. It was all based on emotion. And I don't feel it this morning, so I'm not coming. Man, if you only come based on emotions, I wouldn't be here this morning. Man, when I woke up this morning, it's like, really? Sunday? I got to do this? Really? I mean, that's the first thought I had. All right. Now, once I had my shower and a couple of cups of coffee, not the second one. All right, this is a big day. Get with it, Sam. I mean, it's a big day. Come on. My emotions are just as unreliable as your emotions. We don't follow Jesus whether we feel like it or don't feel like it, or whether the music's doing it for us or not doing it for us. Come on, somebody. I mean, just these shallow people, you give them any kind of pressure or persecution at all, and they lose it. Don't get their way, bam, gone. That's not what I signed up for. Forget it. You're never going to find somebody that's going to please everything. You're going to be trying to follow Jesus by yourself the rest of your life and following Jesus by yourself ain't an option. There's no context for it. There's no Bible for it. Can't be done. Maybe if you were on an island by yourself somewhere, maybe there'd be a special grace for you, but you've got thousands of people around you trying to follow Jesus every day. There's a place for you to fit in to God's kingdom in the house of God. Thorny ground people have this desire to follow God, but the worries of life, other interests, the deceitfulness of riches, just other things, just choke out the word. I'm telling you, there are a gazillion distractions today. And they're all designed to keep you away from Jesus. But good dirt people hear God's word with a heart to understand and a will to obey. The fact of the matter is that all of us, from one time or another, could be called wayside or stony or thorny. But I want those days to be less, and I want more days to be that I'm good soil, fully yielded to the Master, and you drop some seeds in me and watch them grow. Who sincerely wants to be good dirt people today? Who wants to be highly productive for the kingdom of heaven? Would you bow your head and close your eyes, please, this morning? We sang a song when I was a kid. It's called "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." No turning back. No turning back. No, though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. My first question is today is, here you are in the house of God today. Maybe reluctantly, maybe accidentally, maybe you don't even know why you're here, but you're here. Something on the inside of you is saying to you, you know, I need to do something about this. I need to do some real business with God. I mean, I think I want to follow Jesus with my life. I see other people doing that, and I've always kind of wondered about it, and here I am, and if that's what's going on the inside of you, let me just say that's not my persuasive words, but that's more likely the Holy Spirit of God pulling at you, tugging at you. You see, you were created in the image of God, and there's something in you that wants to connect with God, and the Spirit of God is drawing you back to Himself right now. Or perhaps you've been away from God. You've allowed distractions. You've allowed persecution. You've allowed trouble. You've really just allowed other things to choke out God and His Word in your life. And you've just about as far away from God as any unbeliever. But again, here you are in the house of God this morning. And something on the inside of you just says, you know, I just want to be right with God. That's what happened with the prodigal son. Out there as far away from the Father's house as he could be, and just as broke and depressed and hopeless as he could be, he came to himself. He said, you know, it's a lot better my Father's house than it is out here, and I'm just going to repent and go home and fall at my Father's feet and confess my sins and just submit myself to be a servant in His house. One of the greatest parables Jesus ever told. But when that son was a long ways off, the father heard about him coming home. He stood up to meet him. And he called out to the servants and said, hey, kill the fatted calf. Get one of the best robes. Get some new sandals. My son's coming home. Get the family ring. He said, I wear my dad's ring. Took the ring off and said, hey, the family seal still belongs to my son. My son who was lost has come home again. Man, if you're ready to come and be right with God today, let me tell you, God's more than ready. He's already made preparation to receive you and welcome you back to himself. And he's so excited. He's poking some of the angels right now going, look, look, he's coming home. She's coming home. And if that's you today, say, I really want to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved today, or I need to come and be made right with God today. If that's you, would you just hold up your hand right now real quick so I can see you? Yes, you can put it back down. Anybody else? Just say, that's me. I just want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come back to God today. Who else is that in the room? Anybody else? Yes, young man, I see it. You can put it back down. Yes, young lady, I can see your hand. Put it back down. Anybody else? Say, that's me. I just want to be right with God. I want to give my life to Jesus today. God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Put it back down. Sir, whoever that, I can't see very well in the back. We've got just another few seconds. Allow God to do business with you. Anybody else? This is like an important day for you. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved. Anybody else? So that's me. Well, Father, you've seen these hands that were raised, and you see the hearts that is represented by those hands. Father, I just pray right now that you do exactly what you said. That anybody who calls upon the name of the Lord, they'd be saved. So, Father, here in a few minutes at the end of the service, we're going to invite these people that raised their hands to come forward so that we can pray with them. Father, I pray that you give them boldness and courage right now. Satan, we resist you. You will not steal the word that's being planted in their heart right now in Jesus' name. Would everybody just really do me a favor and close your eyes real tight for just a second, because it's kind of sensitive. You know, we talked about gifts of the Spirit just real briefly today, but it just seems like the Holy Spirit's just talking to me about brokenhearted people. Who might that be? Just real quick, can I see? All right, you can put that back down, yes. Anybody else? Yes, in the back, I see it. Anybody else? Just, man, your heart's just broken. Something happened. Lord, I just pray that you heal those broken hearts right now in Jesus' name. See, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. I can't heal, you know, a fly's wing. I mean, but Jesus can heal. He knows. And so we're just asking you to heal them right now. Just seal up that brokenness in their life, Father God, right now, so that all the good things of God don't keep pouring out of them and leaking out of them. But you just make it well. Make them healthy. Make them whole. Make them free right now. Spirit, soul, and body now, in Jesus' name. Is there somebody just in like absolute severe pain this moment right now? Just like in lots of pain, okay? Anybody else? Anybody else? All right, I see you, yes. You put it down. Anybody else? All right, just right now in the name of Jesus, I just speak health and wholeness and freedom to you in Jesus' name. We just command this pain to be gone and be diminished right now. Jesus, just heal them, restore them, make them whole in Jesus' name. Amen.